Hey everyone, I'm Andrea Ferretti and this is Yogaland. Welcome back, Jason.
I'm back.
You're back.
I don't know if I was gone for long.
Not long.
Okay.
Yes, but you will be gone for long after this one.
Wait, really?
Not long, anyway.
Anyways, we'll figure it out.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
We are going to talk about home practice today. Home practice, personal practice, a topic that is near and dear to both of our hearts. And we're going to go through why we think it's important to have a home practice. But let's just first start with the, you know, long view and talk about what we even mean by home practice.
Yeah, so you and I, as we were developing this episode, we had a little bit of a disagreement. And I will tell you that it's the same disagreement that I've had with myself over the past 15 years. Because one of the things that we are disagreeing about is really what constitutes a home practice. Mm-hmm. Is it watching Glow at home? Is it watching Yoga with Adrian at home? Mm-hmm. Or is it being alone and developing your own sequence and doing your own poses?
I would say surprisingly, I was the heavy in this conversation.
Well,
and I said, when you said, okay, so we can include, you know, watching, doing a class at home while you're, someone's leading you, you know, on a streaming service or something. And I said, well, why? That's not what we're talking about. Because you and I kind of came up in this time where you were definitely expected to, if you were a teacher especially, have your own quiet time on the mat at home. But you convinced me. So talk through why you think it's changed.
Well, here's the thing, which is I think what we just have to acknowledge is a lot of time has passed since
when we look in the mirror, we can tell. When we call the doctor, we can tell.
I have to look at myself in editing all day long. Okay, so here's the thing. Home practice used to mean self-led practice because at home there was no teacher. There was no streaming service. Maybe you had Eric Schiffman's book.
All we had was paper Bibles.
We had paper Bibles, right?
There was no, I mean, there was the internet, but there was nothing. You had the notebook where you left class and did little stick figures of the sequences, or you had Light on Yoga, Eric Schiffman's amazing book that I still love more than anything.
Maybe The Heart of Yoga.
Heart of Yoga.
Right? So I guess kind of what I want to get at is, I think what we want to discern here is a home practice that is led by someone else or a home practice that is self-led. And you and I are still in the mindset, because we just have an old way of thinking sometimes, that a home practice equals a self-led practice. But I think here's what I want to communicate. I want to kind of get to a punchline, which is I don't really care how someone practices at home. I just want them to practice at home. And the reason that I want them to practice at home is because I understand how important repetition and consistency is. So to me, I think we should actually talk a little bit about the value of having your own self-led practice a little bit too. We'll kind of throw this in because there is something really valuable about being alone, listening to your body, paying attention, and just moving from there. At the same time, to me as a teacher, the thing I care most about is just time on the mat.
Right.
And that's kind of more what we're going to focus on a little bit today is just the consistent value of time on the mat. And there's two things that I want to bring up really quickly before we start to get into our list, okay? Which is right now, quick plug, I am refilming all of the practices for Module 1. Module 1's going on sale May 1st. It starts May 15th. But the reason that I'm refilming the practices, number one, they're old. I filmed a long time ago. Number two, even a home practice that is like fully recorded and supportive, most of the ones that I created for these modules, they're 2-hour practices. there's actually 3 hours of practice, but they're broken up. But one of those, like, 3 hours of total practice is a 2 hour practice. You have no idea how difficult it is for most people to do those.
Yeah.
Right. And so what I really realize is that the whole experience of practicing at home, whether you're practicing on Glow, my training, a book, by yourself, practicing at home is a different beast than going to class. And it has a lot of its own individual merit, which is what we're going to focus on.
Yeah. I really appreciate your perspective. I definitely, as soon as you explained it to me, it was like a light bulb went off. I think it's important to think about developing the habit of doing yoga.
Yes.
And so however, you know, whatever is the lowest hanging fruit is perfectly fine. If it becomes like an integrated, and that to me is the importance of home practice is, I think like the biggest, most important aspect is to have yoga become integrated into your life.
Exactly.
So I like that perspective. And I will also say, when you mentioned the 2 hour practices in just from, this was just from like 5 years ago or 4 years ago that you recorded those and that those are really too long for people to do at home. I have first this, I'm going off script a little bit here, but I think it's relevant. You know, I think there was a certain part of me as classes have been getting shorter and shorter and people's practices have been getting shorter and shorter that worried like, oh my God, like we're just not preserving, I don't know, our attention span or the, some kind of tradition or something. I feel so much less like that these days. And I think that's because I truly believe that it's better to move a little bit several times a day than it is to, I was actually at a cancer seminar once where one of the cancer docs said, I am considered a sedentary person, even though I run, she ran like a lot of miles a week, like 25 miles a week or something. She's like, I get up every morning and I run for 45 minutes, but then I sit for 10 hours. I am considered a sedentary person. And I think about this a lot now when I think about shorter classes and shorter time periods of practicing at home. I'm just trying to say, to set this up to say, I think that's great and okay. And shorter is, if you're going to do it, that's what's important. And if you want to take a walk later or take a some kind of fitness class later or lift weights later, great. Like make movement an integrated part of your life.
100%. Yeah. And so there's two quick anecdotes I want to give, and then we'll get into the why practice at home. Like why do this thing, right? Mm-hmm. The first anecdote is really gross, but I want everyone for a moment to think about oral hygiene and imagine that you have two choices. You could one day per week, and you do this every week, cost is not an issue. One day per week, you could go to the dentist and get like a full cleaning, right? You'd be there for an hour, get like a full sandblast cleaning. Or the other option is don't go to the dentist every single week, but instead every day, like floss and brush your teeth for somewhere between 4 and 6 minutes. What is going to give you better health outcomes? The answer is obvious. It's obvious. The other thing is, and I don't mean to put my foot in a like a yoga landmine, because I think there's all sorts of psycho-emotional reasons to stay in poses for as long as you want to stay in poses, right? So I think there's mental and emotional and philosophical existential reasons to stay in a pose for longer than a minute should you choose to do that. But we have a ton of science on flexibility and what really creates tissue adaptation over time when it comes to creating greater flexibility. Like there's a ton of science on this. And all of the meta-analysis can be summarized by the following. To get the greatest amount of tissue adaptation for flexibility increases, you need to do 30 to 60 second stretch per muscle 5 times per week. If you were to do 5 minutes per muscle 1 time per week, there's no gain.
Hmm.
So we also see time and time again with the actual studies, and there are tons of them. With the actual studies, we'll see there's no mechanical flexibility benefit to staying in a pose longer than 60 seconds. It's never, like, there's never been a measured outcome. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I think there's plenty of reasons to stay longer than 60 seconds, right? But the point that I want to get at here is the real value that underlines, like, everything else that we're going to talk about having a home practice is time on the mat. It's all about consistency. And the reality is, if you allow your home practice to be super enjoyable, like if you think about it first and foremost as your time.
Your time.
It's your time.
Your time.
Like literally it's your free time. You get to do whatever you want to do. And if you look at it that way, if you make it something you really enjoy doing for 20 minutes per day, you are going to have a much more developed yoga practice than if you just went to like one killer hard class per week.
Right.
You just are.
Yeah. It's your respite, your refuge, your haven.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into our points. Do you feel like you kind of covered the first one? Easier to be consistent?
We'll just cover it really quick. Yeah. So number one, it's easier to be consistent. Now, I will tell you that having a place to go is really nice. Having a class to go to is really nice. And your home practice is probably never going to, your best home practice is probably never going to feel as amazing as your best group class.
Right.
So that's, I think
that's a good thing to set people up, like a mindset thing.
And this is not an either or thing. Okay. This is not an either or thing. Let's go back to oral hygiene. Go to the dentist and brush your teeth. Mm-hmm. So if you have a good class or two per week that you really love going to, go. There's so much benefit to that. Mm-hmm. But if we want to consider practicing 3, 4, 5, 6 days per week, most people just aren't going to have the time and the discretion, or even maybe the body type to be able to do that in a class every week. But can you do 20 minutes most days of the week? If 100%. So it's just a lower time commitment, and it is the ongoing hygiene follow-up to whatever other environment that you happen to be practicing in.
Right. And I think I don't think we mentioned this at the beginning of the episode. We're going to do another episode, a follow-up on like how to structure a home practice for yourself. Yeah. So that if you're feeling like I literally sit down and I have no idea what to do and I feel really unsatisfied at the end, we're going to help give you a plan. But yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there so that people know this is just the beginning of our home practice conversation. Okay. So the next reason to develop a home practice is that you can focus on, you can choose which regions of the body you want to focus on.
Yeah. Like one of the nice things about being a student is you don't choose. I mean, to some degree, like you choose what's right and what's wrong, right? But you know, you listen to your body and you're responsive. But if I go to your class, I don't really have a say in what we're going to do. I don't know that we're going to focus on shoulders or hip or spine or core or relaxation or whatever. Like, I don't know. And to be honest, that's really nice. Like, it's really nice to not have to make choices.
Sure.
Right?
To have it all planned out for you.
Yeah, you like the class, you like the teacher, you like yoga. And I love the experience of being a student in part because I'm such like a forward-thinking, uptight control freak that it's really nice to be put in a situation where I don't have to make the choices at the same time. When you get to know your body decently, you might notice that you have certain regions that need a little bit more care, a little bit more time, a little bit more attention. And because you're not making the choices of what's going to happen in that class, you might not have the opportunity to work on it. Mm-hmm. So you might know that you have challenges or deficits or certain joys with regions of the body that you want to work on a little bit more. And with your own home practice, it's all yours. Mm-hmm. You can design it, especially when you think about a practice. For many people, their home practice is it. They don't go to public classes, mm-hmm. which is also fine. But if you do go to public classes, your home practice, you can kind of think about as a little bit of a supplement. And you just get to supplement what you want to focus on.
Yep, absolutely. Can I just tell a quick story?
Yeah.
So I just feel like so many parents or teachers or grandparents or aunts and uncles will just understand the story. Yesterday, we're driving home from riding, and Sophia is just growing like a weed, and her upper back is often tight and hurts, and Jason will crack it. But when he's not around, she complains about back pain all the time. So she'd ridden her horse. We were going home, and she was so uncomfortable in her back, and she was like twisting and trying all these things. I'm so uncomfortable. And I said, you know, I'm thinking when we get home. Now, this is our extremely resistant to yoga child. I said, I think when we get home, I can just show you like one pose. I'm just thinking one pose, right? That might make your back feel better. Plow pose. And because I know for me,
yeah, for
it
her.
Stretches yeah. and just that weight into the spine can mm-hmm. kind of give you an adjustment. So I said, look up Jason, take my phone where I'm driving, look up Jason Crandall yoga plow pose. So she does. And this is what I hear, like tick, 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 tick. Oh, I said, did you find it? And she's like, well, yeah, it says plow pose. She finds one of our sequences. She's like, that one. And I said, yeah, can you just try? No, I'm good. So she is an example of a person who could have a 15-minute yoga practice every day,
yeah.
focusing on her upper back, shoulders, and neck, and her life would be infinitely more easeful. To be continued. We'll see if we can ever make that happen.
TBC.
Okay. So next we have this idea that you talk about all the time, which I think is great, which is that your home practice is a place where you get to practice things you love.
Yeah. So this may or may not be different in reality to people focusing on different parts of their body, right? Kind of what I was thinking about focusing different parts of the body is for me, one of the things that I do most evenings, right, which you see is most evenings I roll, like I use the foam roller. And I often spend a lot of time on my abductors, right, especially like gluteus medius. And I don't want to say that I love it. Like I don't dislike it, but I'm not doing it for joy. I'm doing it for need. When it comes to joy, those are the other things that I do. That's like me doing Supta Padangusthasana series, me doing recline ankle to knee, me doing recline twists, right? Like, yes, my body can use those things, but I'm doing those things in the moment because they just feel good, right? They're like me doing, it's really not me doing a yoga pose. It's me using a yoga pose that I like to feel good in my body in the moment.
Yep.
Right? And I think there's this kind of crazy idea that, although we are going to kind of tackle it in a moment, like, I feel like every yoga teacher has just like, this has come out of their mouth at some point. And they're like, well, you should really be doing the things that are the hardest for you. You have the most to learn from the thing that's hardest for you, right?
Yeah.
I get it. But can you imagine imagine you were in your 20s. You had never really learned to cook at home, and you wanted to kind of like learn a little bit how to take care of yourself through food. And you're like, well, let me start just by learning how to steam vegetables. And I hate steamed vegetables. Like, how often are you going to do that? You're not. You might do it the first week, then you're never going to do it again.
Yeah.
But if you learn to make food that you actually enjoy eating, you will be more consistent with it.
Yeah.
So we can tackle working on the stuff that doesn't feel as good, but man, your practice is your free time. If you love poses, go do them. So someone might say, well, if you only do poses that you love, isn't that going to create an imbalance? And my response to that is, no, there's no way. Bear with me on this. Let's say I love just stretching my outer hips. Like, and I just love that, and I want to do that every day. Do I think spending 20 minutes several days a week stretching my hips because I love them, because I love doing that, is going to be more imbalancing to my body than spending that 20 minutes like just sitting on a couch,
right,
or sitting in
right.
a chair,
right,
or doing some other random thing?
Yeah,
it just literally doesn't make any sense, especially when we think about this as a supplement. And usually we love a pose or a group of poses because something good for us is happening when we do it, right?
Yeah. I think we're so fortunate in yoga that we can just do it at home, right? When you think about so many other forms of exercise, unless you really invest in a big weight machine or a cardio machine or something, we're just so lucky. And so I think one of the things overall ways to frame it, given what you just said and what our next point is like, this is your laboratory.
Yeah.
This is your laboratory. So it can be fun. It can be challenging. It can be easy. It can be hard. It's your laboratory. So the next point is, you know, practicing poses that you care about but struggle with. And I would say for me, this was a huge motivation for a really long time. So like I always loved the Vashistasana like side plank series, and I really wanted to be able to do where you hold your top leg up.
Was there a period where you couldn't do that?
A very short period because I just like worked on it. But you know, in class, if you go to that, if you go to see the C variation where you're kind of holding your big toe with your top leg up, it's quick, right? Because it goes so quickly. So I would just spend more time on that at home or like handstands. I have never actually balanced for more than a few seconds in the middle of the room, but I just still loved to kick up and spend more time in handstand at home than we really had in class. So that was a huge motivation for me for a long time, especially after breast cancer treatment. I remember when I practiced at home a lot because Sophia was so little, I was always like, I was working on poses.
Here's where I can speak as a teacher, right? And I can speak to everyone that is a student of yoga listening, right? Which is probably everyone that listens. I 100% guarantee you that I cannot give you all of the experience and all of the time in my classes for you to get to like a maximum depth of understanding of any pose. It's kind of like if I were teaching an instrument, right? I was one of the only kids that I knew when I was growing up that didn't play an instrument. But I remember like all the kids like that had like piano lessons, right? And they all hated them, right? But you would have the piano lesson once a week or twice a week, and then you were supposed to do what in between? Like
practice
a little bit.
Yeah.
So what I can 100% guarantee people is, if there are poses, and the reason I think there's a little nuance here, if there's a pose you care about and you want to develop it, you have to practice it, and you can do it at home just to get more repetition. If you don't care about certain poses, if they don't feel right in your body, if you don't have any relationship to it, then fine. But everyone has certain postures that they like and they want to develop, or they have some like, I don't know, they have some aesthetic that they want to achieve or some feeling that they want to explore. And I know that if you come to class once or twice a week, even if that poses in that class every week, there's no way we're spending more than 30 to 60 seconds on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So is at maximum 2 minutes per week of you working on something difficult enough for you to develop that thing with insight? Absolutely not.
Right.
There's no way. There's zero way.
Yeah. Yeah. So you reinforce that at home.
Yeah.
Okay. The next thought is it's an opportunity for self-regulation and consistency in your self-regulation.
Yeah. I don't need stress management infrequently. Right? Like I need stress management a lot.
Yeah.
And
most of us do.
Yeah. And I get that through lots of different things. It's not just my yoga practice. But my yoga practice still provides me with a tone, like an inner tone that is, I would say, more balanced than everything else that I do. And I spend plenty of time on any given day doing my best, but I still get wound up. I still get fixated. I still get anxious. I still get whatever. And my yoga practice is just like, it's food. It's an offset. It offsets those things. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I need that consistently. And I enjoy that consistently. Mm-hmm. It helps bring greater quality to my life. So we've talked a lot about more physical and more postural things, which I think completely makes sense. At the same time, I mostly practice yoga because how it regulates my nervous system. Mm-hmm. And that's the physicality of it. That's the focus of it. That's the breathing of it. That's the teachings of surrender and effort that go with it. So I need those reminders regularly. I need those reminders. Again, let's say I'm the student that goes to class once or twice a week. That's great. That's amazing. But I want that self-regulation signaling more than once or twice a week. I need a little reminder.
Right, right. And if you can get it daily, I mean, we just, I think everything that you've described, people are going to relate to. We just, it's stressful being a human, and we're busy, and a lot happens in any given day or any given week. And to be able to have a time and a space that you look forward to in your own life that's just yours is a huge gift. It's a huge gift. Again, even if it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, I look forward to quiet time with myself so much, yeah. So much now.
Yeah.
Because it is hugely regulating. And we also know, like you said, we know that these tools help our nervous system. They tone our nervous system. And there aren't a lot of other physical endeavors that we do where that is such a guaranteed benefit.
Yeah.
It's not to say that they don't exist, but yeah. Okay, our last thought is for teachers.
This is actually where I want to revisit the beginning of the conversation to the self-led component. Because I think everything that we've talked about up till now is equally relevant to people that teach yoga and people that don't teach yoga. It's equally relevant. But for me as a yoga teacher, having a self-led home practice is a non-negotiable aspect of my professional development. Mm-hmm. So I think I'll put it like this, which is, it's where I find my own voice. It's where I find my own description of something. It's kind of like if I was a writing coach, I couldn't just only read books and then tell you how to write based on what I've read. I have to teach you how to write based not just on what I've read, but also what I've written. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like there's this, I'm having a hard time kind of exactly expressing what's on my thought. It's almost like we, as a teacher, we have all these inputs. Right? Like, let me limit it to this. Like, I'll kind of narrow it. Like, imagine you're in my training, okay? Or anyone else's training, but I'm gonna center myself. It's our podcast. imagine you're in my training. You listen to me a lot, right? Like, my words are in your brain. My words are in your body, right? And so when you go to teach, naturally what you're gonna do is repeat my words, right? And that's okay, mm-hmm. But ultimately, I don't want you to repeat my words. I want you to repeat your words. So you have to have the time where the things I say to you that have gone like into your ears, you have to have the time on your own to like practice and listen and find your own way and not just listen to me, but figure out what I've taught you and what that means to you, find you, and then express it to others.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean that you won't say things that I say. I mean, I haven't taken a class with Rodney Yee in like decades. I still say things. He's still the main influence on my teaching, right? I mean, I still say things and have certain cadences that I know, like sometimes they'll come out of my mouth. I'm like, that's Rodney.
Yeah.
Right? That's okay. But he was always the first one to say, like, I don't want a carbon copy of me. And so where you find that is in your own personal practice. Like, you don't recite someone else's script. I mean, I guess unless you do. There are some practices that do that. But in one of Suzuki Roshi's books, I think it's not Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. It's one of the other ones. He says something along the lines of the biggest challenge of being a teacher is, I don't want to just help you know what I know. I want to help you know what you know, right? And so that's where the self-led part of the home practice is. Everything else we've talked about up till now, like, I think if you're doing it completely on your own, self-led, if you're reading a book, if you're doing it with me or someone else online, it doesn't matter. I think the outcome is going to be the same. When it comes to being a teacher and having this mechanism of digestion and this mechanism of processing what you've been taught in a way that deeply goes through your body and then comes out of your mouth to your students from your own visceral experience, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
I think that's a big deal. And I don't want to I don't want any teachers that are listening to feel bad if they're not there or haven't done that, because it's a big step. It's a big step, especially now, because going back to when we were training, we didn't have the options, right? But one of the challenges now is it's just so easy for a teacher to put on a good online class. And that's good. Keep doing that. Don't cancel your subscriptions. Join all of our courses. Watch my YouTube, Jason Crandall. But at some point, to make it yours, you have to make it yours, which means you have to be alone in the kitchen a little bit.
Yeah. It'll keep it interesting for you too. And for the teacher. And I think part of this, you know, part of this little idea you're trying to convey is also encouragement. Like, you can do it. You know,
you can do it.
It might feel uncomfortable at first. You might feel a little lost even as a teacher, and you might feel frustrated by that, or like you should be able to do it better, or you should be. And, you know, as I say, like, don't shit on yourself. Like, just keep going, because it will make the practicing and the teaching much more meaningful to you when you're able to convey something that comes from you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And in our next conversation, we talk about like the biggest obstacles and how to overcome them when it comes to home practice. I will come back to this. I've said this already, but I want to close on it by saying it again. Whether you're a teacher or not, you have to frame your personal practice as like home cooking, not going to a Michelin-rated restaurant. It's a different thing, and you have to have that expectation. And I'm going through this process where I realize for me, one of the places I get in my own way is because I'm kind of a perfectionist with a lot of things, and I want to be good. Like, I want to be good at the things that I do. And it causes a good thing, which is it does help me be good at some things. But it also causes me to get in my own way. And I think that for a lot of people, the main thing that gets in their own way of a home practice is thinking, well, this isn't as complete or as like balanced or as thorough as like Jill's awesome power flow class. And it's like, good. Of course it isn't. Like, literally, of course it isn't. But it's a different thing.
Right.
And all of the ways that we interface with our practice ultimately are cumulative.
Mm-hmm.
It's ultimately cumulative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thanks so much for being here, Jason. I will put show notes at yogalandpodcast.com/episode 326. And I will link to some of our sequences so that people can feel inspired to get on their mat with a piece of paper, or if you don't print it out, with a sequence on a screen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, everyone. Until next week, enjoy your practice.